Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, I'm Jackie Cation. You are about to listen to the Dork Forest. Let's give you the info about it. First of all, you know the websites. DorkForest.com, TheDorkForest.com, if you like a determiner, JackieCation.com has everything. All of my podcasts, including videos of my stand-up schedule, merchandise you can purchase if you would like, and a lot more info than you possibly even need. Let's do the credits. Mike Rickberg sang and produced and composed that song at the beginning of the show. He sang with his wife, Sarah. It's very beautiful. At the end of the program, he sings his version of the Mexican Hat Dance. That's Mike Rickberg. Vilmos fixes JackieCation.com. He is the web designer over there. And Patrick Brady fixes the audio. And in this case, there's a video intro. Very exciting. Anyway, those are the websites. If you want to support the show, you're doing it already by listening to it or watching it. And another way is to tell your friends and family, go on iTunes, do a review. Another way is to just give me money. Yeah. You could go use the donate button. You can make it even monthly if you're okay with making things monthly. You do a PayPal monthly. There's a monthly choice on PayPal. The PayPal is a button on the Jackie Cation or the Dork Forest website, and it goes directly to me. Thank you very much. I will use it wisely or foolishly. Your call as well. Now, my email address, jackie@jackiecation.com, is where you can contact me if you have any questions or concerns and about the Dork Forest. And I do have a Venmo account. It's jackie-cation, oddly enough. Another way to support the show is on dorkforest.com and jackiecation.com. There's an Amazon link. And the Amazon link just takes you to Amazon. You order like normal, and it supports the show because you came from Jackie Cation or dorkforest.com. Very exciting. Other than that, there is a Bandcamp. You can, if you have listened to all the episodes that are free and you need more content, there are several live episodes that are at thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. And those cost me a couple of bucks, so I charge a couple of bucks. There's also a storytelling album there that you can listen to some stories that I did live. And there are 17 free episodes before the Dork Forest was pre-recorded. So the audio isn't very good, but the guests were super funny and fun and dorky. So if you want to do that, go to thedorkforest.bandcamp.com. Other than that, let's see if there are other things that I should be talking about. Possibly the merch. Yeah, if you want to buy merch. The only other thing I want to talk about is the merch. You can get Dork Forest t-shirts, and you can get stand-up comedy t-shirts. You can get my albums or my DVD over at jackiecation.com/merch. There's pins, there's a challenge coin, there's a bunch of new things happening over there. Anyway, a lot of information. I don't think I've missed anything, but who cares? Let's get into the show. Hey, it's Jackie Cation. I'm over here in my house. And Sophia Alexandra's back of the show. You only did a live one, so now we get to just talk to you. Welcome to the program.
I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me, Jackie.
But of course. And I will say that as I do my layering of whatever these windows are, that it's The Sophia, S-O-F-I-Y-A. It's at The Sophia. And It's Sophia Alexandra, everybody. Stand-up comic, new album out called Father's Day. That's right, everywhere that you get comedy albums. So chop, chop, figure it out. you're indoors, hopefully. You got time to kill. Let's do this.
I like the brisk, no-nonsense nudging to get my album. I wish that I was as good as pitching it. I'm like, I don't know, maybe
you might like it. You know,
here's a picture of my tits. Will you buy it now?
What about now? And what about just the left one? Anyway, very impressive. Very impressive. You're doing a scoop neck. Okay, so here's the weird thing. So I asked for your dorkdom, and you came up with something so incredibly dorky This is huge. This is a big thing. My brother Phil has wanted to come on and talk about this very topic. I called him just to gloat that he was not going to be talking about it. He said, well, I could talk about it too later. And I said, yes, you can. But right now, Sophia Alexander is going to talk about the Robert Jordan series, Wheel of Time. Do I have that correct?
Yeah. And if people don't think that sounds like appropriately nerdy yet, I would like to tell them that this is a 14-book series, and the average page count is about 800.
Right. And isn't it 17 books, three by Brandon Sanderson?
Yes. I'm sorry to be a truther, a Robert Jordan truther over here. No, the last three count for sure. But Robert Jordan died. I'm not saying that writing this killed him, but I am suggesting it because that is a lot of writing.
It is so many. It's because if 14 books and each one's 800 pages.
Yeah, between 400 and 800, they get longer as you keep going.
That's because they were success. This is my unsubstantiated opinion, is that once a series becomes successful, less and less editing happens. They're like, no, you're a genius. Go. And the hence 200 pages of camping in the last Harry Potter book. So that's for me. Now, here's the thing about the Robert Jordan books. I've never read them. Weird.
Wow, Jackie. I can't believe I came here and outdorked you.
Exactly. Oh, it's usually not possible in reading stuff, but for some reason, I didn't get it. So it's still available. I was just talking to my brother, Phil, and he was like, I love them. They're so good. And I was like, that's great. And I said,
here's the thing. I love them and they're not good. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yes, I do know what you mean.
And it does not diminish how much I love them in any way.
That is amazing to me that because I have books like that myself that you're just like, no, they just keep going. That's what I love about them. So they're magic, right? They're fantasy, not science fiction.
Okay. Yes. They are magic. Okay. And they never call what is being done magic in the books. It's called channeling.
Sure.
I'm so sorry.
You're making yourself giggle.
I know. I'm just so excited to talk about it. Okay. When I said to my husband, I was like, how am I going to fit this into an hour? He's like, please feel sorry for those people. It's like, all right.
Oh, no. Oh, they're soaking it up. Let's hear it.
So, okay. First of all, you're like, yeah, I never got into these. So this probably has to do with timing, okay? These came out in the 90s when I was in high school. And I was not having any sex. And I had so much free time. Okay. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a lot of friends.
You were a child. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I was just blowing through these Robert Jordan books as if, you know, at the end of that was a boyfriend. But there wasn't.
No.
Newsflash. Or girlfriend, really.
That's how we all spent our formative years. Mm-hmm. You're really in the safest space you've ever been in.
Yeah. So being so horny and so young with so much time is really how you end up getting into a series this long. And the other thing that's probably a big selling point if you're a nerd is it touches on a lot of other mythologies from like other books and also like world religions and stuff. So in that way, it's also extra nerdy and fun. And you're like, oh, this is actually about, you know, King Arthur's knights, but like they're slightly renamed and like, oh, this reminds me of this. So
he has no problem just co-opting. He's just like, mine.
Yes.
It's just like Judeo-Christian, Asian, Thor, who cares? I'm taking all of them.
All of it. The only thing he could not master was how to write women. Something completely escaped him.
This is 14 interesting.
Books.
my brother Phil actually said incredibly strong women characters.
That is exactly what a man who likes this series would think. Because I right away was like, oh no, this is sad. He's just never getting it. Not even one time he's not getting it.
There are women though, right?
There are women. Here's how he likes to write them.
Okay.
If there's a big meeting of women, at least 2/3 of the meeting description will be about the different dresses the women are wearing. Because, you know, bitches be shopping for dresses. Shopping.
Are we also describing the men folk? Their clothing. Does he like to? No doublets?
No, no one cares. No one cares because they're men, okay? They have ideas that we need to talk about, okay, Jackie? Not outfits. The women, it's like, oh, she was wearing a brushed red silk with silver vines crawling up the sleeves. Just a hint of her bosom atop. And also, they're like so unbelievably chaste. There's never any fucking in them.
Oh, that's how safe of him, Safety Mouse. So maybe he was describing the dresses because he was like, yeah, and then that's how you get under it.
That's as close as I'm going to get.
37 buttons that I would have to undo, but they're all made out of whalebone. Anyway, or whatever the fuck. Anyway, so.
So women are, it's not that he writes them as like, women are dumb and weak. It's not that kind of sexism. It's like, everyone's beautiful in some way because like, why would we care about a woman who's like not hot? And then all the description that is the men talking about how befuddled they are by any emotions or thoughts that the women have or behaviors. They're like, well, I just don't get it. She seems mad. I don't understand why. Why is she so mad?
Angry mad or has she gone mad? Is she insane?
Interesting you bring that up. So the man witches who channel in the series go insane because the source, which is where the power comes from, has been tainted long ago in the Age of Legends when the world broke.
Sure.
And the taint, of course, and the taint makes it so whenever the men channel, it's dirty, Jackie. It's too dirty.
Taint not of my concern, Sophia.
I know. So they were like, so the men cannot be trusted. They go insane. So now, like, when people find out that the men have the channeling powers, they, like, still them, which means, like, sever them from the magic. And then generally they, like, die after or just, like, live very miserable lives. Like, but it's considered to be, like, the price they pay for breaking the world.
Oh, sort of like an Adam and Eve thing, but the guys are the Eves. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting twist. I bet he was pretty proud of himself, Robert Jordan, when he came up with that.
He's like, I'm a real feminist.
It's this could get me laid. And does that happen from the get, from book one? The dudes are go mad or they traditionally.
Jackie, you're so simple. Oh, God. Your simplicity comes across in the fact that you perceive of time as a line when the series is called The Wheel of Time.
Oh, my God.
Which means it is circular.
Time is circular.
It is. Okay. Time is circular. It spirals, actually. And the wheel weaves. As the wheel wants something like that. The wheel weaves at the beginning of everything. It's the wheel. It's weaving the pattern. The pattern is what the world is. Okay. The pattern can have rips in it, such as when you use a particular magic spell that kind of shoots laser bars, and they're called balefire. And once they go through the fabric of the pattern, it burns a hole that is damaging and like is bad and like can burn people out of existence and like events, and it's very damaging.
You know who else did a lot of weaving? The Fates. Robert Jordan, I think, had a classical education, is what I'm suspecting.
Oh yeah.
Anyway, yeah,
definitely.
Good for him. So the books. So the time is actually a wheel, and so it's all connected in what is like threads that go across that wheel. And the way that channeling works is it affects the threads or the weave itself?
No.
No. Incorrect. It's, good guess.
It's way more complicated than that. No, what it is okay. So magic or whatever, which is not referred to as magic. Again, channeling. You can channel by weaving different things. Fire, earth, air.
Why would
the other one? Water and spirit.
Spirit.
So it's kind of like a little bit like Captain Planet, but like...
Or ain't all ancient cultures, but also it is. Captain Planet. Yes.
But I mean, I'm trying to relate to old kids. I don't know.
Right. Well, and what I like is that spirit is in there. It's sort of the fifth element. It's an umami kind of element. That's very beautiful. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's say I'm going to admit right here, I decided to read a little Wikipedia. So I did read it that men mostly channel or do magic with earth and fire.
Yes.
And women mostly do channel with air and water.
Obviously. And air and water, notoriously feminine. I mean, yeah,
the ladies. Just,
you're real gay if you weave those if you're a man. You know what right. I mean? You can't do it.
It's clearly you're going to be pushed around on the schoolyard if you're a boy and you're doing air and water. But
that's what I mean. Jordan is very classically, this is feminine, this is masculine. And this is like one of the reasons why he's so trash at writing women. He cannot conceive of anything beyond the binary, really.
Okay.
In any way.
And it was written, and all of this was what, written in the 80s and 90s?
I think it came out in the 90s. I don't know when he wrote them. Probably took him 20 years to get there.
Oh,
I don't know.
It had to. I'm not above, I have the Wikipedia open, and I am not above.
No.
Taking a gander at the top of this thing.
Another thing that is very, I would say, sexist is just the way that it's conceived of how men and women channel. So when women channel, they have to picture a flower opening. And if they force it, it doesn't work. Come on. Come on. Georgia O'Keeffe somewhere is like, seriously? No, that's too literal, Robert Jordan.
And she was there for the literal. Yes. That is, okay, 1990 to 2013. And he died in 2007. So he started writing them in 1990. And he died in 2007. So... In 1990, did you start reading them in 1990 or did you read them in 95?
I started in 1996.
Okay, and so there were probably several books to read by that time.
Yes, but he wasn't done writing them until later, so I had to reread the entire series.
Every time a new one would come out?
No, I waited till all of the ones at the end were out, and then I reread the whole series to get the end.
Okay, so you read.
I had cancer. I did not have a lot to do, so I was like, "Well, this is the perfect time to reread 14 books that made me feel nice as a child."
Yeah. So okay. So but here's the thing. So did you wait like in '96? You read, let's say, whatever the first four of them were out, and that's him churning them out like this is a romance novel. So you read the first four and then you're like, where's the next one? And then he would publish and you would go grab it?
No. Yeah, I would go grab it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I basically made it through, I think, 7 or 8 before I started having sex and friends.
Well, did you have to wait? Not to belittle your sex drive, but let us speak to the books themselves. There were how many were published in 96? Do you know?
I think at least 2.
Okay, so even when you, let's say it's 2004, you're getting some. Are you still looking on the shelves, hoping that there'll be a new Robert Jordan book?
No, that's the thing. I stopped when I went to college and basically had other shit to do. And then I didn't come back to them until cancer 3 years ago. And then I reread everything from the beginning. And then the ones I didn't read because I had stopped reading.
Right. And by then, Brandon Sanderson had taken over with his notes and had finished the last three novels. At 800 pages as well?
Yeah, some of them even more. For sure over 1,000.
Wow. Because it says here that Jordan thought it was one more book. I bet you he kept saying that. He's that guy.
Well, from what I, sorry to be extra nerdy, but from what I understand, Sanderson really wrote one book. It's just that it's three because it's such an epic story.
Right. Well, and the thing is now my brother Phil told me that he ended up skipping book 11. So he read book 10 and then he read book 12 because he didn't have 11 handy.
Huh.
And he went back to 11 and it turns out the entirety of the 800 pages of book 11 is 3 days. So like,
I don't even remember. I have to see all of the covers next to me to like be like, oh yeah, this is the one about this. But yeah, it's not the kind of thing where you can keep the threads alive in your head when you're not reading it. It's just too many characters.
Okay, and they break up into different parties, right? I mean, you're not just following the same dude every time, right?
No, it's a ton of people, and it's different, like, geographically, like his version of Asia, his version of whatever. And a lot of that stuff is pretty racist, too. Like, his idea of, like, Native Americans and, like, his idea of, yeah, it's... He doesn't understand a lot about different kinds of people.
You know what he is? He might just be one of those guys that you're like, no, that's racist. What? No, okay, I'll stop it. But what? I think I'm being nice. And you're like, well, you are actually not. But as long as you can be taught, please keep it together.
It's a lot of like, oh, these like darker skinned Asian people are inscrutable. You know, shit like that. Like these little stereotypes of like.
Okay, so it's just you like know. That. And so that's interesting because so here's the interesting thing is I just found a website that the Wheel of Time series list in order, 15 books. Brandon Sanderson has been, because my brother Phil, he posits that Brandon Sanderson is a much better author than Robert Jordan.
Yes. Yes, I've heard this too. But the weird thing is when you are tapped to finish a guy's book, it's not like you're going to come in and like reinvent the wheel of time. Sorry. You can't.
You realize some wordplay right there in the middle of your own sentence.
God, I'm so sad. I miss people, Jackie. But yeah, like it's weird to be tapped to finish someone's vision when you yourself are like a different kind of author and maybe like more advanced or better in certain things. But like if you took it over and suddenly were like, yeah, no, this is what it looks like when you write women, if you know women. Then people would be like, what do you mean? You didn't describe her dress and she wasn't tugging at her braid every moment when she was angry. Like that.
Wait, so Brandon Sanderson writes the women better to your knowledge or?
From what I understand in his own writings, he does.
Well, I've read the Mistborn series and I've read a one-off, a blessedly one-off. Think about it, Sophia Alexandra. A book that has one book and it's a whole story and then you're fucking done. It's an amazing book. It's called Elantris and it is beautiful and weird and like moody as fuck, but it's incredibly great world building. And it was probably why he was tapped to write this thing because because Mistborn was moody too and weird, all misty. And there were three of them, and I believe as publishers, because I think they added a couple more, the Mistborn series, here's my thing. First book, amazing. We learn about the mist. The second book, we cure the mist. Third book, shit.
The mist is back?
No, there's no fucking mist. That was what made that world interesting, sadly.
That's okay, a drag. That's just confusing. It's a drag.
Yeah, so the Mistborn series, I say, just read the first one. It's great.
Oh, but I'm definitely going to check them out now. And then the Elantris, which?
Elantris.
That's what I'm going to read.
It's gorgeous. It's about religion and politics and immortality and some really good looking people who lived in a walled off place, and then they were cursed, and then they're being taken advantage of now that they're cursed, and they're like, but we were trying to help anyway. So it's like this whole, it's super cool. Elantris is super cool.
But, I'm definitely gonna read that. Yeah, because this, the reason I love this is world building for sure.
Yeah,
and just really cool concepts like. The world of dreams where people can have meetings and stuff. And if you go
Zoom.
If you go there in the flesh and you die in real life. Also call the dream world, it's like where the wolves, it's the wolf's dream. It's where the wolves live too.
Okay.
So when wolves die, they like go there. And then when wolves sleep, they go there too. It's really interesting and cool. And then there's stuff like the thing about like channeling and weaving is you can heal somebody with it. You can hurt somebody with it. You can do really incredible things. But then there's still really simple stuff like, oh, if you have some of this fork root, then your ability to channel disappears for as long as it's in your body. So it's really interesting idea of like there's people that have skills that are outside of channeling that are like – they can talk to the wolves, but it's not like...
it's not channeling? It's called not. Something else?
It's like, yeah, it's just like an otherworldly kind of a skill.
Is it a talent? That word was used in the Wikipedia. So instead of channeling, it's sort of magical, but it's not channeling. It's just a talent. It's a very specific one-off.
Yes, exactly. And people can have, and like a lot of times, well, the cool thing about the magic powers and how you realize that you have them is if you say are like one of the main characters is a wisdom for her village, which is like a woman that is like the healer for the village and also like gives advice and stuff and is kind of the unofficial head of the village. Like the men have one, but the woman is her own thing and is just as powerful and if not more so. But for example, like she didn't know that she could channel, but for like her whole time as the wisdom, when she healed people with herbs or did whatever, they would heal so much more remarkably better than anybody else. She didn't know that that's what was happening. They were just like, she's a really skilled wisdom.
She's just an incredible healer. And then later on,
it's like, she had a really good talent for healing. So when she found out how to like weave magic and do all of that, her skills and healing were far and away beyond anybody else's. So it's like little things like that, I don't know, I think are cool.
That is cool. How did she find out that she had channeling powers?
I mean, other people who can channel. So there's like an order of witches called Aes Sedai. So like if you go for training, when they basically go around and they discover women that have the spark, like the ability to be taught to channel. And then they take them to Tarvalon, which is like their witch, like
Hogwarts or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. It's like their island. Yeah. And then they train you there. And it's like a pretty rigorous program. It's not fun like Hogwarts. Right,
there's no dancing. What about there's essentially women witches who go out looking for women magicians, channelers or people who have the spark.
Yeah.
Are there male versions of that? Do they have an island?
Well, no, because they broke the world, so them. They don't get anything.
Right, so they just, are they wilders?
So, no, wilders are women that nobody ever found who have the spark. Mm-hmm. So what happens is if you have the spark and the power and you start channeling, like you start realizing you have powers and you start doing weird shit and you're like, oh my God. But if no one finds you and teaches you how to like direct that, then you like basically burn out like and you can die basically.
Okay.
That's what happens. So the reason that they try to find wilders is so that these girls can like be properly trained and don't die, but some wilders survive and
figure it out.
Fine. Yeah. And just have their own little version of,
Okay, so with this series, so some of your favorite things is the fact that there's this dream world where you can hold meetings and hang out, and that it's run by wolves, or?
Well, it's not run by wolves. Like basically when you fall asleep, the way everybody's dreams are like a star in the night sky, kind of, and people can visit each other's dreams once they know what they look like if they're dreamwalkers. So a lot of the dreamwalkers are their version of Native Americans, like the Ael. So what they do is like they enter the dream, and some Ael, for example, are in another part of the waste, which is where they live, which is like a desert. So if you want to meet with somebody and they're across the desert, how do you do that? So you go into the world of dreams and then you meet like that. So that is cool. And sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, do you have to, how do they recognize it? Is it like an Animal Crossing thing where you have to send them your address?
I've never played Animal Crossing, so that's not a reference I understand. Okay.
You would love Animal Crossing. It is also your wheelhouse.
I am very excited.
Yes.
To try it. But yeah, basically the more practice you get dreamwalking, the better you get at it. And so you can recognize other people's dreams just because you're like, oh, that's Jackie. Her light looks like this, you know, like, oh,
okay.
You know what I mean?
So, and then you just kind of recognize people.
Yeah. But you can also fuck people up who do not dreamwalk if you're like evil and you do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds evil. That doesn't sound cool. So who are the good guys that you like and who are the bad guys that you like?
Okay. Well, so the Forsaken are the bad guys, and they're essentially like the 12, most like evilest, I guess, wizards or something. And then there's like the Dark One, which is, I guess, like the devil, Shaitan, any of that. So a lot of it is, like I said, it's like every religion ever. And the main character is Rand, and he is kind of like the Jesus. So he is there, and like the prophecies say that he has to like die and get sacrificed and all of this stuff, and he has to also save and unite all of these nations, and there's all of these prophecies that he is a part of. So the book starts, basically the whole series starts when one of the witches, like one of the Aes Sedai, comes to town to this tiny village where Rand and his friends live, and she knows that one of them is the dragon reborn, which is the Jesus.
Excellent.
And she doesn't know.
This is a full on Messiah story.
Okay. It's like Messiah and Friends, I would call it.
Excellent. All right.
So basically she doesn't know which, obviously it's only a man because only a man could save everyone. So there's only there's three men and she doesn't know which one it is. They're all friends. So she like is like, let's get you out of the village because the dark forces are out to kill you because they know that you're Jesus or whatever. So, so she takes them away and then some of the women come because like, what are we going to do but follow the men? And so the women come and like then basically they don't make it home for many, many books. And not until like there's battles and all this shit.
So the whole pack of people that left that tiny village don't make it back to that village for books and books.
Yes, for a long ass time. And also one of the things is that when they leave – they're kind of leaving to save the town, but the town still gets kind of massacred or a bunch of people get murdered anyway. And then later there's kind of like I said, everything comes back around circular. So then there's like another version of this later on that's like different now. And, one of the ways that, so one of the talents is recognizing when someone can bend the pattern.
Okay.
That's called Taverin. That's someone that's so powerful that world events shape themselves around them.
Wow.
So Jesus and his two friends, Matt and Perrin.
Okay.
They, all three of them are that, pattern benders. That's why the witch can't tell which one is Jesus.
Okay.
She's like, I don't know. Like, these two could be Jesus two. I don't know right. which one's it's, Jesus, which one's friends.
It's definitely one of these three guys. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So she keeps them all together, and they don't know which one either is the... Rand doesn't know
just
that
he's
the Jesus.
Just for the littlest bit, and then very clearly it becomes Rand. He's the Jesus. Yeah. So Perrin is a wolf guy who
Dreamwalker guy?
Yeah. He can speak with wolves, and he can go into the wolf dream, but he can also speak to wolves when he's awake and stuff.
Oh, that's convenient.
He can like sense where they are, and wolves are basically like hate, I guess, the devil and the shadow spawn.
Okay.
So anything that's devil related, the wolves can sense. And they, will battle and kill. And so, wolves are, the really good guys.
Right. So you definitely want to have one around because he can sense that the undead is walking towards you, to speak in a D&D kind of fashion.
Yes.
He's got an undead detector.
And then other guy, Matt, has two things that are interesting about him that I don't know why they jammed into one guy, because they were, it's not interesting enough for him to have one of the things. I don't really get it. But he's both the reincarnation of the world's best general.
Okay.
And also the luckiest person alive. That wins at dice, wins at everything, knows when things are gonna happen or go weird because he can feel the dice rolling in his head.
Okay.
So yeah, again, one of those would have been fine. Two seems like overkill, but fine.
But that's, so he's an amazing strategist and leader. And
not a leader, literally just the general. He sucks at anything else, just war stuff.
Well, what, but is a general, is he, does that mean a fighter? Because wouldn't a general be the guy who told everybody where to go and fight?
Yeah, but he's the guy where you're why the fuck is anyone following him? But they're all we're with you, Matt. He's so cool and weird. And how did he know? He's so fierce. Oh, the ladies love him. It doesn't really make any sense.
Okay.
But he just wins stuff. And then he goes back to being complete dipshit. And it's just okay.
And then he's super lucky. So he doesn't ever get killed.
He avoids getting killed narrowly. He gets saved from being hanged. He's got really good luck, except for the part where someone tries to hang him, you know? Happens to him that's pretty bad, but he lives, and I guess that's the luck.
That's where the luck comes in.
Yeah.
That's hilarious. So what's Rand's power?
So Rand's power is he's the most powerful male channeler alive.
Okay.
And so the reason that he's dangerous is the Aes Sedai know that he's supposed to save the world, but he's also going to go mad at some point, all male male channelers do.
So they're just he's hugely powerful, but they're he's probably going to go nuts at any time.
They basically want to put a leash on him and have him be controlled so that he can survive long enough to save the world, but they can basically, you know, still him, get rid of, separate him from his power when they need to, or kill mm-hmm. him or whatever. Mm-hmm. They basically, their whole job is to find men and to defuse them. You know, not whole job, but one of their jobs. So yeah. So they're okay, what do we do? He's supposed to save the world and break the world. And we don't know which order it's, we need to make sure this goes well. So yeah, that's kind of the whole thing. And he knows he's supposed to die too at a certain point.
Okay.
And he knows that he's going crazy, but he can't let other people know about how crazy he's going. But they can also see him talking to himself or other people.
Okay.
And it's this really weird, creepy thing. It's like when you watch Lethal Weapon now and you're like, so we're cheering for mentally ill cop Mel Gibson to have a weapon and just do whatever the fuck he wants.
He's suicidal
and he's the hero on the police force.
Yeah. It's the Golden State Killer. That's great. That guy. So there's so many of these Messiah books that were written. Mm-hmm. And granted, they were written all through, there's always some. I mean, even Frodo is kind of the Messiah in The Lord of the Rings. But
100%.
Yeah. But there's literally Stranger in a Strange Land by Heinlein. He mm-hmm. is the Messiah.
I love that book.
That's a great book. There was
I grok that book.
Do you grok that book? I love
it. Oh, I grok it.
I grok it as well. And then, because I love that. I also, speaking of terrible politics, Orson Scott Card, the Alvin Maker series.
Oh, I have not read that.
Well, the first three are great. The next three, he doesn't know where the hell he's going. It all falls apart.
It's and like you're just lost. Like,
right. And he can't. And then at some point, he decided to hate gay people. So we're like, boo.
Whoa, that's a twist.
It was a Mormon twist. The guy went. He went back to the book that was written in Northern New York, and decided to give a shit about that. Mm. So
no one needs that.
Orson Scott Card. He wrote Ender's Game.
Mm.
And so it, you know, it had some potential anyway, but there's so many, like, when you think about, I mean, it's the greatest story ever told, of course, the Messiah story. And so it makes sense that Rand would, so he's this flawed hero. Does he live till the last book?
Spoiler. Wait till I tell you the best part.
Okay.
Hey, guess what, Jackie? He's so special.
Yeah.
Three women want to be with him. And they don't care if they have to share him.
Oh,
there's no fucking anything in this book that is in any way steamy or whatever. But you can tell his one fantasy is that he could fuck three women continuously through his life and have all of them love him and never fight or be upset. And it's not that I don't believe in that. It's that there's no point in the book where there's even a consideration for like, hey, well, what if a bitch wanted three dudes?
And it's very Robert Heinlein. Mm-hmm. And then also, that's crazy. Of course, three. And I was, you know, because I'm actually, I'm working on this joke about how, because my sexuality for a long time was drunkenness. And and my husband's sexuality was, he was bisexual. And so when we got together, I was like, could our sexuality be monogamy? Would that be okay? And he's like, that would be fine. And that is what I would wish upon people who enjoy this type of thing. If you have found one person that you would like to do it with, it's less confusing. You don't have to work with bunk beds. It's nice. Anyway.
No, I am more than pro polyamory, but this is very much a man's idea world and fantasy of everything in this book. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I am personally turned on when the women are together.
Okay.
And all I want is to be one of them and to just have us fuck each other. Mm-hmm. And I don't really see how he's at all important in any way. Because they are really cool, you know. But also, like, the fantasy goes, like, one of them is, like, a redhead who is, like, gonna be the queen of Andor, you know, who whatever. And one of them is one of the Native American ale women.
Yes.
And one of them is, I'm like, who's, oh, and one of them is, I think she's supposed to be Asian and like very tomboyish and also has the gift of like reading omens. But I think the idea was you could have everything. The idea was like, let me take a little bit from everywhere to like show the male fantasy, which is like a smorgasbord of pussy.
Which is interesting because you want to say, hey, that's great. I mean, why wouldn't you write a novel where you're lead? Because, I mean, whenever people do write fiction, you're like, well, what character are you, right? Who are you, the lead character? Are you the buddy who's, you know, because I spent most of my adult life being the wingman, right? I was constantly going, no, she's not going home with you. No, she's actually, she's really, really fucking drunk. Me too. But neither of us are getting in your car. No, that's great. No, you got her number. Call her. You're good. All right, let's go. So, I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, like, if I wrote a novel, I think I would write from the perspective of, I think I would want to be the wolf guy. Who do you want to be in the books?
Ooh. I for sure want to be an Aes Sedai.
And are those witches or?
Those are the witches that are, like, in the formal witch order.
Okay.
Because I feel like one thing that's great is the longer you touch the power, quote unquote, which is the longer you've been channeling for, touch the power just is like, you awesome. Mean fucking clitoris, right? That's what you mean. Just say it.
I don't know.
But yeah, so the thing is, the longer you touch the source for, the more ageless you are and the longer you can live. Some Aes Sedai have been alive for over 800 years.
Oh, okay.
Which is fucking dope. So it's like, why would I not want that?
Are they murderable?
Yes.
So how did they, so they live, but they were also shrewd, right? Like they wore a seatbelt.
They're all mortal, but obviously because they have such great powers, they can protect themselves better than most people. And each Aes Sedai, except for the red, mm-hmm. so there's different colors that they, like you claim an Aja, like your red order or whatever, or different colors. So the red one, they hate men and they want to like still all of them, gentle all of them. And basically they do not believe in this, but everybody else believes in having warders. And a warder is a warrior that is bonded to you through magic so that in your brain, you can always feel each other. So he knows when you're in trouble and he needs to come save you. You can tell if he's hurt so you can heal him, stuff like that. So it's like a really cool symbiotic relationship.
And it's always one of the women, witches, and a dude?
Yes. But the green Aja, who loves dudes and just loves to fuck, can have multiple warders. That's the Aja I would be. So you could have a bunch of warders and they also fuck, you also fuck your warders. The other ones do not. They're just like, it's a working relationship. But the green Aja is like, why can't I have a little fun while we're here?
Right. You signed an NDA. We've talked to HR about this. Anyway, so I'm hoping it's consensual, but who knows? The thing about science fiction, especially science fiction that was, you know, that isn't particularly woke or awakened only to fall asleep again, I have to say is that it's, consent is always sort of half implied, and then you're like, okay, I do kind of want to be forced, which is such a weird way to write something that is currently not in favor. Because all of the currently being written romance novels, consent is such a huge fucking issue. And I read historical romance novels, so they're retconning, they're retroactively putting consent into the 1800s, where the guy is like, are you sure you want to do this? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, you're sure? And she's like, yep. And then they fuck. Like, she has to say it twice in the new books.
What I find so wild about that is, like, the way that they write consent is so, like, sterile and kind of unsexy, as opposed to just being like, if the woman takes agency and tells the man what she wants,
right,
then you don't have to have him ask a million times if she's okay.
Right.
Well, do you know what I mean?
Yes, because sometimes...
And I'm not against a man asking if you're okay, please.
No, because the consent goes both ways, too. Like, I have strong-armed my way into a situation where a dude is like, well, that was weird. And you're like, well, you were hard. And he's like, anyway, so like literally it's not. So the consent does, it goes both ways. And I think the sterileness of it is sort of a lesson rather than a literal, like a literary mode. Like I think the literariness of that sterile consent asking is just the purpose of romance novels is to teach people how they're just like games, you know, they're to teach you how to have some sort of social interaction within and what the rules sort of can be or should be or fantasy as well. So I think it's more of a lesson than, 'cause it does pull you out of the book.
Yeah, and it sucks because it doesn't have to be that way. And I think the better thing to do would be to write not like a after school special manual edition of how to like fuck a girl without raping her. Mm-hmm. That seems insane to me. Don't we actually teach two people how to interact in a way where the entire time it's consensual? There isn't the one little like moment where you're like, Now I just stuck my dick in you. Is this okay? Just the fact that women, just the fact that like men are led to believe that interacting with women is somehow so strange and foreign. It's like, well, if you would never force your man friend to do anything uncomfortable, I don't know why you don't take that same logic to your other relationships.
Well, and I will tell you why. It's because the civilization process is incredibly slow. Like these are literally brand new revelations for some people, men and women. Women, you know, I sat in a green room and a woman comic that you might know as well slapped the ass of the waitress. And I said, "What the fuck was that?" And she said, "That's my MO." I said, "Acting like a dick, dude?" And she goes, "Yeah." And I said, "Please not around me." And the waitress didn't know what to do because it was a woman who slapped her ass. And you're just like, but the thing is 5 years ago, I think I would have done what everyone else in that room had done, which was sort of an uncomfortable, "What the fuck was that?" And then say nothing about it, which I have sat next to really shitty shit like that and not said anything. And that's not okay. But it's something that I live with. And it's, you know, something that I'm working to not do anymore. Right.
I think all of us are. I mean, the ideal version of all of us is that we speak up when we see shit that's like not okay. But sometimes the processing of it takes too long. And by the time you're done processing that what had happened was wrong and you're trying to say something, it's not even like the moment is gone. The waitress is gone. People are gone from the green room. And you're like, oh, but I just found the right thing to say, which was, "Hey, she works here. Don't fucking touch her. That's not okay."
Right. And which is why I think that sometimes art, and we can say that romance novels and the Robert Jordan books and Will and Grace are art of a sort. And sometimes the message has to be so in your face. Like a man saying, like Robert Jordan saying, "These are strong women. Sure, they wore pretty dresses. And that guy got to have sex with 3 women. And those women got to have sex with their warders. But they're at least strong and they did eventually listen to their ideas." And you're like, "Yes, thank you very much for this crumb. I will take it."
And it is like that. That is like, yeah. Because the women in Robert Jordan's books accomplish incredible things. They are everything from witches to queens to healers to, I mean, so many really cool, really beautiful things.
Like they're savage.
There's this incredible, like, I mean, I guess race, I don't really know what to call it in fantasy books, but like this, I guess, nationality, this group of people that are seafarers, and it's women who run the ships. And women who make all of the deals and women who are in charge. And when they're on ships, they're topless. Because why would they not be? That's like comfortable for them. And just the idea that there's matriarchal societies in Robert Jordan is in itself nice to read.
Yes, it's an achievement. It's not completely woke. It's not, you know.
No.
But I swear to God, he's trying. It's 1990. He's giving it a shot. I appreciate it, Robert Jordan. And
I agree. Yeah. And I mean, the really cool and amazing things are like, yeah, to me, the world building, the magic, all of the different things that it encompasses, you know, it gets you thinking in so many really fun, different directions that I think it is the perfect way to like escape. Which I don't know that, like, you have to have cancer to really appreciate. I think right now is a great time to have escapism. And this is, to me, you know, like a good way to do that. I would love to have, like, a feminist version of these books where, like, A, there was actual fucking.
Right.
And B, where it wasn't that women are so cool but orbiting.
This is an attainable goal. People, at the Sophia on Twitter, feel free to make her a thread, because I bet you Outlander is just that. Because I started Outlander. I started Game of Thrones. I have yet to start these Robert Jordan books, actually. But
you know,
I
they're making a TV series of them right now.
Why wouldn't they be?
Of course, but I'm just saying it would be a good time to catch up because if you ever wanted to.
By the way, Sophia Alexandra has a new album out. It's called Father's Day, and it's everywhere that you would listen to it, an album of stand-up comedy. And it's The Sophia, S-O-F-I-Y-A. And here's, so have you read these N.K. Jemisin high fantasy books?
No.
That are out? I think there's some fucking in it. They are, talk about world building. It's, she won the Hugo 3 years in a row. She finished the series. She finished writing the series before she published the first book. She's W. Kamau Bell's cousin.
What?
Yeah. So there's. I love that. That's the. she's an amazing author. Incredibly prolific. But the Broken Earth series is the one you want to read, and to start. Even though I understand the rest of them are great, and she's also writing a Green Lantern comic book right now, which is fantastic.
I'd like to do that because I've not been really reading that much fantasy. I was like a huge Clive Barker head, and I read so much of it. I used to jerk off to Magica all the time. Like, I mean, honestly, I was like, ooh, someone who just shifts and doesn't have a gender or a or a sexuality or a
you
whatever.
That was, you know, so who was writing hot in 1990 and has amazing women characters and male characters and sexy talk and gender fluid is Lois McMaster Bujold, the Vorkosigan series.
You have to make me a list of of this. I am so excited.
Let me just tell you that the audience, the Rangers of the Dork Forest, were like, when's she going to mention Bujold? I bet she's going to mention Bujold. Well, it happened. It happened. All of those of you who had put a lottery on it, had an over-under. So would you say you have to start reading the book from the beginning, The Eye of the World?
Yes.
You can't just jump in the middle?
No, and, I wouldn't.
Yeah, just Eye of the World, The Great Hunt, Dragon Reborn, right? Do you have a favorite one, though? The Shadow Rising, The Fires of Heaven, Lord of Chaos.
It gets kind of shitty in the middle for some books. But, like, right? I don't think I could pick one because in my mind, it's all just one story.
One giant
story. So it's, like, hard for me to pick apart. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But, I mean, the ones that I liked the least were, like, to me, it's boring to not be focused on the main shit for so long, you know?
Okay, so I'm like, 800 pages.
I'm like, please get back to the main story. So thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe book 11. Maybe book 11 was literally not focused on the main story and it was driving.
And it just reading about magic and stuff and like the way that people fight in a magic fight is really cool. But lot of the reading is like a battle where it's just like battle stuff, I'm not as interested.
Yeah. So Knife of Dreams is book 11.
I think that one's good, but I don't remember.
Right. Because all you're going to do is sort of get an impression because there's so many books.
It's so many.
That is outstanding. So.
And I think he also has a spanking fetish, which Emma Arnold and I were talking about.
Has she read them?
No, but she had, like, I think a friend or a boyfriend or something that did. And she was like, hey, is it really spanking heavy? And then I started thinking about it and I was like, that's so weird that he does mention all the time, like, oh, yeah, I just wanted to bend her over my knee and spank her.
Oh,
she's been bad.
Jesus
and I was like,
Christ.
Okay, we just learned a little bit about you, Robert Jordan.
Yes, we did. I mean, that's, and that is the thing about reading. When you read a lot of books by one author, you're like, oh, I genuinely, you can't hide who you are 14 books later. That's not gonna,
Jackie, are you not scared that someone will like go through all of your comedy and podcasts and then just put together a little shorthand that's like, oh, yeah, Jackie's obsessed with this and this and this.
Oh, I think that's been done. That's the fact that somebody made a Wikipedia page about me is already, there's too much info. I'm like, what did I mention? Like, literally, the name of my stepmother and my siblings are all on the Wikipedia page. I was like, that's a lot of info. What's happening?
Damn.
And, yeah. So I think... Yeah, I think it's like stand-up. It's like anything. You know, if you watch someone perform, you could be wearing a hat. Maybe you got a funny mustache on. But you wrote the jokes, so we get to know what you're thinking about. So if it's spanking, that's where you're at. Do they have pets? Do they have familiars? Do they have magical animals besides wolves?
So there are magical animals that have been captured from like parallel worlds, essentially. So there's parallel worlds and different timing, and like characters go and see like, oh, this is what it would have been like if this happened, or this is a possible reality or whatever. There's a lot of these like, so the Aes Sedai have to pass through tests to like become, like there's different levels of being a witch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And some of the tests are like, you go through this magical portal. And in it, you go through experiences and, like, basically you have to be able to pass the test and come back out. And if you can't, then, like, you don't do it. So a lot of it is it shows you, like, realities that it thinks you might want more than this. And then it's up to you to, like, navigate your way out to be like, oh, yeah, this isn't real, or this isn't what I want. Or it's really cool.
That is really cool. That's kind of neat.
Yeah. And then parallel, I mean, and there's also, like I said, reincarnation. A ton of people are reincarnations of other people. Okay. And so they're like, oh, I didn't even know how I had this skill, but this is how it is. And like, you know, even like Jesus, he knows who he's the reincarnation of. It's like Luz Theron, who's another big magician from like the olden age. Okay. So it's everything together, all of the religions. All of the mashups.
Awesome. All of the mashups, all available in one giant series. Mm-hmm. And sometimes super cool imagery, sometimes poorly written, but still super cool imagery. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes.
Okay, I love it. You know, we are at an hour, my friend. That'll happen. And Sophia Alexander, by the way, is a great comic, and you should find her everywhere that you find stand-up comedy. And she has a new album out called Father's Day, and it is spelled S-O-F-I-Y-A, Alexandra, like you would spell Alexandra. And her Twitter handle is at Instagram, too, is The Sophia.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. The Sophia, you guys. And feel free to tweet at her the literally just a pile of sexy times, gender-bending, fantasy, epic stuff. Because guess what? Oh, we know it exists, right?
Yeah, and it's been so long since I've gotten into new fantasy. And I was really like, I used to read a lot more graphic novels too.
Okay.
And now I'm more like, really like, On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. You know, that's what I'm reading now.
What is that?
Have you read that? It's by Ocean Vuong.
Okay. Is it sort of philosophy or?
No.
Is it nonfiction?
It's a gorgeous, poetic type memoir.
Oh, okay.
Sort of. It's kind of like a letter to his mom that she's not ever going to read.
Okay. That's sweet.
Yeah. No, but it's like about her being abusive, but also like.
Sure.
Her being from her surviving the Vietnam War and like how that changes a person and like makes you who you are. And like he's also a queer writer. And just as an immigrant who's queer, it was a big deal for me to like, I really wanted to read another queer immigrant story.
Yeah.
And I loved it. There's so many. He's also like an incredible poet.
Okay.
And when you read this, the beauty of his writing is it took my breath away. I had to reread a bunch of times the lines that would just be like, oh my God, like, how did he do this?
So it's what's so his good. Name again, and what's the name of that book?
The book is called On Earth, We're Briefly Gorgeous. You can tell he's got away with words just from the title.
Yep.
And his name is Ocean Vuong. If I'm pronouncing it wrong, I'm really sorry. Hold on,
how do you pronounce it?
Up. I don't know.
It isn't NG. It isn't Win, is it?
It's V-U-O-N-G. Is that Vuong?
V-U-O-N-G. I don't know. But we've spelled it now, and so people can find it.
Yeah, you guys are going to love that book. That
it's
book
gorgeous.
Is so good.
Okay. Sophia Alexander, thank you so much for doing
thank
the
Dork
Forest.
Thank you so much.
This has been a delight. Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat, my hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks looks like a Mexican hat dance, and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance. It's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?